once, because with the list becomes power and you get leverage, and you could use that list to launch your next product, or you can ask them to become your affiliates, and then it just keeps growing from there, and it just gets easier and easier as the list grows.
A real step-by-step process.
Yeah.
So if you came online now and you were going to do something, but you're at the stage where you've got some experience from being online, but you're not sure kind of which direction, should you develop a product, should you become an affiliate, where would you turn?
What I would definitely do is the first thing I would turn to is affiliate marketing, and I would concentrate on list building. I would go out and I would buy myself some resale rights products, and hopefully find the ones that have giveaway rights as well. There's plenty of those. And I would drive traffic to I would get my own domain. I would put up a page that asked for an email and the name. And I would use my autoresponder software to capture their name and email address and give them free gifts just for joining. And try to have some type of back-end service, that's offering some type of free directory of whether it be traffic exchanges or great forums. You know, find some type of niche related to internet marketing. You know, there's a lot of people that will tell you, you know, you can't make money in internet marketing. You need to go out and make money in the niches. You know, selling pet supplies and stuff like that. Those are great niches, and there's a lot of people that make a lot of money like that. I'm just here to say, don't give up on making money online. It can be done, and if you know what you're focusing on, and that's building a list, and then you can promote the affiliate programs in the beginning, and then after that, if you've had success, just do a new version of how you're making money online and teach people how to do it, and that'll be your first product.
Excellent. Do you have any resources that we can go to find? You mentioned resale rights and autoresponders. Do you have any resources that we could use for that?
For autoresponders, there's two ways you can do it. You can send the email from your own server, that's usually a one-time fee type of product, like autoresponseplus.com. You buy the license for the software, and you send the email from your own server. There's good and bad with that. The good is that you control the list, and if anything happens, you can back it up and move it to another server or another host. The bad thing is that the email that goes out comes from your IP, and if you ever do get a jerk that cries spam, even though he did opt in, it goes back to your domain, and you have a problem. And if you're going to use an autoresponder and you want to use a monthly hosting, certainly there's aweber.com and getresponse.com, and a good friend of mine, Gary Ambrose, owns emailaces.com. And those are the types of places that you pay $9.95 to $19 or $29.95 a month, depending on the amount of mail you use. And they let you have all those same things, that they send the mail from their servers. And what was the other resource?
If we're looking for somewhere to find resale rights products.
Oh, for resale rights products, you could go to my website. It's mikefilsaime.com, and the last name is spelled F-I-L-S-A-I-M-E, mikefilsaime.com. And I have a product on there where you click on my site. It's called thebestdealever.com, and all those words are hyphenated. And what I've done is I've collected resale rights products over the years, and I just keep adding them to this this one collection. So if you get that thing, I think you get like 9 different packages of resale rights. There's about 11,000 different products in there that you could sell individually or group them together.
That's enough selection.
Yeah, that should be enough.
So then use the resale rights products as an enticement to get people to sign up for the list?
Correct.
And then have a series of autoresponder messages in that list that just keep following them up.
In the beginning, that's what I did, but I ended up just using not using autoresponders anymore. I shut them all off, and I basically just send them one or two welcome messages, and I send probably 2 to 3, I would say about 2 emails a week, so they're getting email from me through my broadcast and my newsletter. So I send either content or promotions on a regular basis. So as soon as they get into into my newsletter, they'll start getting real emails from me that are up to date.
Okay. Why did you change from being an autoresponder to doing broadcast?
Because what I found out what was happening is is they ended up getting both. and then I would get an unsubscribe. So let's say you opted in today, Terry, and I had one email to go out today, one tomorrow, one to go out on Wednesday, and one to go out on Friday. And in the meantime, I emailed you on Wednesday and Friday. Sometimes you get two emails a day from me, and I didn't want my members to see that I was emailing them too much, and because I didn't want to lose members in the beginning, thinking that they just joined somebody that's going to be emailing them all the time.
Right.
So I decided to go away from the autoresponder series, unless specifically they're signing up for something that's like a 7-day newsletter, where they know they're going to be getting free content for 7 days.
Okay, excellent. If we can just go back just for a second. Now, you've gone
sure.
through the safe list way of developing a list.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any way to use the traffic exchanges in a similar manner to develop a list?
Yes. There are sites like Traffic Swarm and NoMoreHits.com that you can use, and those are what are called like start exchanges, and I'm sure you might be familiar with those. That's where you join and you set their link that they give you to your homepage. So every time you open up your web browser, the first page you see is another member's site. But a lot of the mistakes that some of the people do is they'll take their affiliate programs and advertise them, and they may be good converting websites, but they're not necessarily made for a traffic exchange, because what you're doing is when somebody opens up their browser, you need to understand that somebody that's opening up their browser is a member of this site, and they know that they're going to be seeing some website in there. So what I would recommend that somebody do is create what's called a splash page. And I even provided those resources for one of my sites, list.com, specifically to use in these traffic exchanges. And a splash page should be just it should not be looking like a web page. It should just be a very compelling, almost like a subject line that would say something like, for instance, who else wants to see the secrets to building a 5,000-member opt-in list in 1 week? Click here. It should be almost like a welcome mat to have them click to go to the sales page. And a lot of the people that use the traffic exchanges, they just plug in their affiliate link, and they're driving traffic to a website that has links that say about us, frequently asked questions, and all these navigations. And if you're a member of a traffic exchange and you're constantly opening up your email address, there's nothing compelling when you just see a website and you're just going to type in your normal Yahoo homepage and you're going to be on your way. So I would definitely tell people to create their own type of website that'll be compelling to get to break the person's attention when they open up their web page to see that. And even like with my site instantbuzz.com, we were doing a training call the other day for the members. Excuse me, and we told them that you don't want to use a subject line or an ad on the bar that says something like earn 10,000 a week with this incredible opportunity, because Terry, you're not going to click on that. I'm not going to click on that. It's just like a subject line in an email. I sometimes will take 5-10 minutes sometimes just trying to think of the right subject line to get people to open up my emails. That, to me, that's more important than the email itself, because I know that if I can't get them to open the email, then they're never going to click the link and never going to go to the web page. So even those little ads that you'll see in Instant Buzz, I told them to be compelling. Use things like guess what happens if you click here, or who else wants to I'm a big believer in the who else headline.
Yep.
A lot of people say it's overused, but I use it a lot because it just works. Who else wants to be the next person to get this website and make money online? Something like that will usually the questions seem to be a little bit more compelling, and it's human nature. We need completeness. So even though we know that we're going somewhere to be sold, we want to see that we want to see something complete. So if you ask a question, sometimes a lot of people have to click on your ad just so they could see the answer, and that's the next step in the process, is getting them to the sales page. Let the sales page do its job to get them to opt in or make the sale.
Excellent. Now, what about, you keep mentioning Instant Buzz. What's that? Is that a traffic exchange as well?
Instant Buzz is a traffic exchange, and it's a free site to join, instantbuzz.com. And right now, we won't get into it, but the site is down for a day or so because we had an affiliate spam it, and we're working on that. But basically the way that works is when you go to the site, it's free to join. You download a toolbar like a Google, a Yahoo, or an Alexa toolbar, and it goes on your Internet Explorer. And every time you surf a web page, there'll be a little ad that shows up on the toolbar. And the more you surf, the more credits you get, and the more credits you get, the more times your ad shows.
Right.
And when somebody clicks on the ad, it goes to the website you're promoting.
Excellent. You have a real knack for using these systems that everybody else kind of would consider as garbage traffic and actually converting it into something useful.
Yeah, well, and a little later, Terry, we're going to get into an outsourcing. You and I had said we probably would talk about that.
Yeah.
What I do is I outsource my advertising, you know, because it's free advertising, so I'm still going to take advantage of it. I don't care how much money I'm making. If it helped get me to where I am today, then I'm going to continue to do it. So I have a girl on my support staff that her job is to send my ads out for me on a daily basis and post my ads, post my links, and drive the traffic to those pages. And she cleans out my email boxes for my safe list and stuff like that, because, you know, if I'm going to continue to get 50 to 60 or 70 members per day with the safe list, even though I'm having success with my other membership sites, it's still a free opportunity for me to get, to be building, 1,500 members per month to my opt-in list. And, you know, that's about 18,000 people per year. And, you know, do that over, 4 or 5 years, and that's another 100,000 people you'll have to your list.
So are you creating one master list, or do you have several segmented lists?
It became an issue because I have a lot of membership sites. For instance, I have my very first traffic exchange was a site called DontTouchMyAds.com. Then I did a site, MyViralAds. Then we did List.com. Then we had the JVNetwork.com. Did a couple of promotions. I had a site called the FreeAdvertisingGiveaway.com and several other sites. I mean, I could probably list off another five or six. And I saw this problem coming. I took care of it before it became a problem. Have you ever gotten 4 or 5 emails from a marketer? They'll send you one from their affiliate center. Then they'll send you one from the ebook that you purchased. Then they'll send you one from their membership site, and sometimes they'll promote their own product or their seminar, and you'll get 3 or 4 emails from them.
Yep.
Has that ever happened? Right.
Yeah.
So, we forgive them for that. You know, we understand, hey, you know, I'm a member of, whatever. I'll use Armin Moore, for example. I'm a member of his My Affiliate Center. I'm a member of the Big Seminar, his list, and I'm a member of Audio Generator. So sometimes he has an important message to get out, and he has the right to go to these different lists that he has and mail them. Some of us are on 2, 3 of these lists, so it's going to happen. In my case, there were opportunities for people to be on 11 or 12 of these different sites. So what I did is, being that I have a dedicated server, all of my domains, they can talk to each other. They all connect through the host. So I have the autoresponder. What it'll do is, if you sign up for one site, I put you into the autoresponder for that site, but I also have a main newsletter site. So at any time, I could go to the JV Network, and I can send out a members-only email, but you opt in into two places. You actually opt in into the newsletter at MikeFilsaime.com, and you also opt into the JV Network. So I've basically consolidated all of my lists into one. And, for instance, if I send out an email from MikeFilsaime.com and you click on the unsubscribe link, it takes you to a page and it says, are you sure you want to unsubscribe? Click yes or no. And if you click yes, you actually see it parsing the database for all my sites, and it'll say, MikeFilSame.com found, unsubscription successful. List.com not found in database. JV Network found, unsubscribe. And it lists all, like, 16 sites will slowly go, not slowly, but like every second will scroll down and takes about 10 seconds, and you'll see that you've actually been unsubscribed from every one of my sites. Because if I send you an email from my newsletter, from MikeFilSame.com, and you unsubscribe, then basically you're saying you don't want to get emails from me anymore. So if I go to list.com and I want to do an email update, you're not going to get it anymore. And I really struggled with that a lot. I was like, you know, do I really want to unsubscribe this person from the membership site as well just because they're unsubscribing from my newsletter? But, I didn't want to ever have any problems with any spam complaints. They said they don't want to hear from me, so I honored that. But I don't delete their membership. They still have full access to the membership to use. It's just the newsletter they come out of.
And is all this mail management handled through AutoResponse Plus?
No. AutoResponse Plus is still, it's a yes and no answer. I have my own programmer, and we had to do a lot of customization. So basically all of the opt-in and the database is handled through AutoResponse Plus. But we've created our own mailing script that sends out and manages all these databases. But basically, we've enhanced our AutoResponse Plus to suit our needs better as we were growing.
Okay. Well, you've touched on a couple of different people you're using now for outsourcing. Maybe we can talk a bit about the outsourcing, because now I think we've brought people from the level where how do you develop your list, which is the most important marketing tool online.
Yes.
You've given us a lot of extremely useful information on developing that list. Now we get to the point where we have a list, things are starting to roll, and suddenly you find you just don't have time to do everything anymore.
Okay, sure. Outsourcing is very, it's something you want to pay attention to when you want to start doing it. And I have a coach. My coach is Rich Sheffrin, and he helped me realize a lot of things. I've been outsourcing for a long time, but he broke it down for me in ways that I never really looked at. And what he said is, number one, you have to see where you are with your momentum. You know, if you're just getting started online, certainly, you know, you want to design your own website, and you know, you want to learn the basics. You want to learn HTML. You want to learn how to do your FTP software to get your sites updated on your sites, and you want to learn your AutoResponse Plus, and you might want to learn how to design an ebook cover at the beginning and stuff like that, because you're not making much income right now, so you don't want to be spending your regular household income to outsource when you don't even have your product built yet. But as you start to have success, you need to gauge your momentum and say to yourself, is this something that I should be getting somebody else to do while I'm concentrating on my marketing? The way that I run my online business is I run it like a business. I don't run it like a job. And I was talking to my friend Mike Ambrosio about that today, and we try to teach people to begin with the end in mind. You know, don't just go at it and say, you know, I want to make money on Google, I want to make money on eBay. You know, picture yourself and, you know, where do you want to be, and be careful that you don't create a job, that you create a business. You see, because if Terry, if you had a job that was making you $200,000 a year, but all the orders were coming in through a fax machine, and you had to manually respond to these things, and phone orders were coming in, and you had to wake up and go to a warehouse every day at 6 a.m., and you had a package and ship and then call UPS and track and take phone calls to, you know, this guy never got his package and everything like that. Of course, it's $200,000 a year, but is that something that you would eventually see yourself as wanting to do?
No.
No. Because basically all you've done is, yes, you've left your online job, but you've just created a job. You didn't create a business. You can't walk away from that job. The orders are going to come in. They're going to come over the fax machine. And how do you go on vacation, you know, with your wife and family when you create something like that? So you need to start. You need to begin with the end in mind, and make sure that you never create a monster that's gonna take you away from growing your business somewhere else. And it could only get so big at one point. And another friend of mine spoke to me about an expression that I'm talking about in my newsletter this month. If I was to drop you two miles away from land and just dump you into the ocean, there are two things that you're going to need to survive. And number one, you need to tread water to keep your head above water, but you need to swim forward so you can get back to land to survive. And your business is just like that too. There are some things that your business needs to survive, but some of them are treading water and some of them are swimming forward. And what I mean by treading water is answering email, doing support, or if you have a help desk, maybe sometimes it's writing email copy, maybe it's getting your site designed and things like that, but especially things like support and the help desk and people that lost their passwords or people that lost their download links, those things are crucial to your business surviving, right? I mean, you can't just ignore those people.
Exactly.
You know, so that's treading water. It's crucial for your business, but when you're treading water, you're not swimming forward, right?
Yep.
So if you wake up, if you're building a nice business and you don't recognize that this is happening, that you wake up and you have 83 emails and you have 16 tickets at your help desk, and then you go to your help desk and you start responding and more email comes in, and you're answering those emails and all of a sudden you started working, let's just say, you know, you're like me and you start working at 12 p.m., and then you work, say, till 9 p.m. And if you're doing all this treading water, and next thing you know it's 5 o'clock, and then you go eat, and then you get back online, and it's 6 p.m., and you have 2 hours to work or 3 hours to work, how much do you have to swim forward at this point? And the way Rich Sheffrin had broken it down for us is basically he said, how much money do you make online per year right now, and how many hours do you work? And you know, and then divide that and basically see how much money you're making an hour. And if you're making $25, $50, $100, $500 an hour, whatever it is, you have to say to yourself, well, if I'm spending 3 hours answering emails, helping people on Yahoo Messenger or MSN Messenger or answering my own support at my help desk, well, then if I'm spending 3 hours doing that and I'm worth $100 an hour, then basically it's costing me $300 to do this for myself. So what if I was able to get somebody that I could pay $200 a month to do this for me full time? Well, then that frees up your time to become a businessman, to become a marketer. And if you could start leveraging your time now to being creative and creating products, tweaking, testing your testing results, looking at your Google AdWords campaigns, and hopefully one day you could start outsourcing those things and not have to micromanage everything. You know, the best way I could explain it is if you take a look at Bill Gates. We were talking about momentum. When he first started, Bill Gates was his own programmer. You know, he had to go do the meeting with the IBM guys to sell them on Microsoft. He wore all the hats. But he had a vision where he was going to take this business. And if he decided to do all of his support and still write all of his code and all of his marketing and everything like that, his business never would have grown. So you have to do a momentum check every now and then and say to yourself, when is it time that some of these things that I'm doing is actually costing me money because I'm not marketing, I'm not running this like a business? And that's when you want to start outsourcing. And if that made sense to you, then I guess we could start talking about the things you should outsource and where you can get it done.
Absolutely, yep.
Okay. Some of the things that I outsource is certainly my support. Nancy Fahey does my support, and then I have Ralph who does my support over at Instant Buzz, and we have another person also that monitors my forums and stuff like that.